Hey, welcome back, everybody, to your favorite new podcast, all right, Leonard's Flick Fix. I'm your host, Leonard Cox, and on this podcast, I bring you essential movie summaries, packed with all the key plot points, character insights, cinematic details, and those big, dirty moments. This is where you get the full story in an easy format, so you can stay in the loop with all the movie talk between your friends and family.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.
All right, let's go ahead and dive in to today's movie, The Gray, a action drama directed by Joe Carnahan. Okay, pretty good on IMDb, not great, 6.7. And on Amazon Prime, we got 4.5 stars. This is an hour and 50 minutes, and it came out in 2012. Let me go ahead and give you a quick little description of what's going on. After a plane crash leaves... let me do that with a funnier voice. After a plane crash leaves him stranded in the Alaskan wilderness, a sharpshooter, Liam Neeson, tries to lead fellow survivors to safety despite the forbidding conditions in a pack of ferocious wolves. The description of The Gray. Pretty good movie, folks. Pretty good movie. I want to go ahead and dive right into it. And before I do that, actually, okay, I actually have true factual knowledge that I'm about to drop on you. Not only have we had one donation to Leonard's Flick Fix, but we've had two donations to Leonard's Flick Fix. Big shout out to everyone who keeps on doing this. Guys, I appreciate you letting me keep on watching movies and just talking into a microphone, and I'm glad that you kind of somehow like it, but woohoo, all right, go team. And on the about section in Spotify, Amazon Prime, Apple Podcasts, whatever, you can actually go ahead and click that donations link. It goes right to my Venmo, and if you want to send something over, you send a description of a movie or show you want me to summarize and a cent, and I'll do it, okay? So go ahead and follow that link and enjoy the rest of today's show. The Gray. All right, we start off with a quick pan of the very cold, very snowy Alaskan mountains. And then we do a little quick cut right to our main character, whose name in this is Ottawa, but we'll go ahead and call him Liam Neeson. And really, these guys don't use names all that much. There's only a few characters in this movie, so I'll do my best to use names as I can, but I'll make sure you got the character's info. Anyways, we follow in on Liam Neeson walking into this, let's call it like a really low-level working oil company of some sort. And it's very dark and it's very cold. They're clearly in Alaska. And he's inner monologuing to us, the audience. Actually, he's writing a letter, but it feels like it's the audience at the beginning. And he's talking about how he belongs here. He belongs with the ex-cons, the bad people of the world, and they're all hired by this big petroleum company to do a bunch of work in Alaska. And his specific job is he's a sharpshooter. So we don't know how he got there, and we never will learn, but we know that he's very good with a gun, and we know that he is, at the beginning of his monologue, says that he is paid to kill. So he's trained to kill, which is an interesting opener. So then he walks into this bar, which is like a back alley camp, essentially. It's not even a bar. There's no, like, all of the people who live there pretty much are in this bar. And it's just a bunch of people beating each other, like, senseless. No one gives a shit. There's no law. The bartender's just, you know, dishing out drinks. It's just like it's like a prison camp, pretty much, I guess. But these people are getting paid probably absolutely nothing, and they live in Alaska. And we see Liam Neeson walk in just distraught. He seems defeated. He just seems utterly done with life. And we get this kind of montage as he sits down, and everything's really blurry. You know, where you hear like that grenade tinnitus ringing. You know, every time that happens, we get like a cut to his memory of him just in bed with what seems to be his wife. And they're just super happy and lovely. So then we cut back to real life, and we see that Liam Neeson, Ottawa, takes just like a couple of shots. He's really drunk. He just looks disheveled. And no one gives it, like, no one mentions him. No one says a goddamn thing about anything. But we do realize that he is writing a letter he is writing a letter to what seems like his wife here in Alaska. So then we go ahead and we see him in the Alaskan wilderness. Okay, we see him looking upon these people working on these oil pipes, part of their jobs, obviously. And his job, it looks like, is just to be a scout and a lookout. He's just like kind of hiding in the trees. And as he's just kind of blanking out, he notices something in the brushes, and he sees a wolf start sprinting at the people working on the oil pipings. And the wolf is just charging at them like boom, 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 boom. And right before the wolf gets to them, he snipes them right through the woods and kills it. Boom, just like that. Like no miss, no anything. And then we kind of do like a quick cut back to him writing his letter to his wife. And he's crying. He's defeated. He wasn't like proud of his shot. He just didn't matter. He goes up to the wolf he shot and it's pretty much dead. And it's just like cuts back and forth between him writing this letter to his wife and him just like kind of almost crying in both scenes over the wolf, over the whatever. So it seems like he's trained to kill wolves or just keeping people safe. And then we do this cut that was super crazy. We cut to him really close up, opening his mouth, and then we see the top of his rifle enter the top of his mouth. And we zoom out and we see that he's ready to kill himself just in the middle of like the parking lot. Like no one's there, no one gives a shit anyways. It seems like he's just at the end of his ropes, at the end of his life here for no real reason. And right as he's about to pull the trigger, everything's getting like super crazy. He hears wolves howling in the forest. And he's kind of inner monologuing during all this. I'm not going to talk about it, but most of it's like poetry. And we learn that his father actually wrote some poetry. And that actually comes into play at the end of the movie. So he's probably reciting some of the poetry from his father in his inner monologue, which is a letter that he's writing to his wife. So instead of killing himself, once hearing the wolves, we get a cut to him and a bunch of other, let's say, camp peers. Let's just call them like, not, they're just ex-cons. It just seems like it's a bunch of ex-cons that are working at this company. And they're all getting onto this tight plane coming out of Alaska. And they all seem to know each other really well. Like I said, they all know each other really well because they were all at the bar and they all do that, whatever. And they're all joking and laughing. And this one guy sits next to him. And he's like, "You're Ottawa, right?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "You're the sharpshooter. You're the sniper." And he just like goes on. He's just yapping his ear off while they're sitting in the plane. And Liam Neeson, Ottawa, is like, "Dude, please just let me just sit in silence." And so this guy's like, "Okay." I mean, it's not like he was really pissed. His name was Flannery. He's not like devastated. But he goes and gets up and he gets to another seat. Anyways, the whole group of the ex-cons, the camp peers, they're all laughing. It's like a full plane, but it's like two-lane seats. So they're all laughing, they're all yapping, they're all enjoying it. And then turbulence starts to come into play, like pretty aggressively, where they're like kind of freaking out, even to the point where one guy's like, "Oh, I'm gonna be sick." And then the Flannery, the guy who moves seats, is like, "Guys," like he's joking, but he's like, "Guys, if the plane does go down, don't be tucking your head between your legs. That's like a myth. I watched it on Discovery Channel, and everyone's like, "Oh, shut up, Flannery, don't jinx us, blah, blah, blah." And so they're all kind of joking about that. And then we kind of do a cut to, it's night now on the plane, and it's super, super, super cold. So it's like kind of confusing, and everyone's sleeping, and as they're snoring, you see their breath in the plane. And the windows are frozen, like frozen solid. And then we kind of cut to Liam Neeson, Ottawa, in his sleep, and we go into his dream, which he's been daydreaming about his wife the whole time. And he's cuddling up with his wife in bed, but this time he's wearing his, like, winter suit, his winter jacket. And it's like, okay. And then the director does this really cool thing to get him out of the dream. He, like, flies, like, he gets, like, flung away from his wife out of bed. Similar to that of when the turbulence starts hitting again. And it's not turbulence this time, folks. It is pretty intense turbulence. And something's clearly wrong because it's freezing cold and the windows are frozen. And then we get the big hit. and everything just starts going crazy. Liam Neeson, he buckles his seatbelt, and then he buckles another seatbelt next to him. The plane starts crashing. It's going down. It's like crazy snow everywhere. There's a gap in the plane. It's just intense, and it really does look quality. Like, the director did a great job. And as they're crashing, as the plane's going down, we get into Liam Neeson's head again, and he's just holding his wife in bed, same exact scene. And then the director does another good job of pulling him out by just having a shit ton of snow blast him out of the bed, and then he's back into the real world. Like, he wakes up, he survived, he's completely, like, he appears to be completely alone, completely frozen, covered in snow, and landed in just a bunch of snow, obviously. And so he is, like, freezing. He's like, what the heck just happened? He's definitely panicking, but not crazy, because if you know who Liam Neeson is, he's pretty cool, calm, and collective. All of his characters are. So he gathers himself. Note that he's not wearing a big poofy coat right now. He's just wearing, like, a generic jacket. But so he wanders around, he sees some smoke in the distance, so he starts sprinting over the smoke, and then he starts hearing some guy just, like, screaming, like, help, help, God, help, oh, help me, someone help me, freaking out. And then Liam Neeson rushes over to him, and he starts, like, fixing up his leg, and this guy's in, like, total shock and total denial, and he's stuck in his chair from the airplane, and he looks over to his left. There's a lot of gruesomeness in this movie, like, a lot of gruesomeness. And it looks really real, too. He looks over, and then there's this literal dude next to him with no top half. It's just completely, it's just like legs and torso. It's like disgusting. And so Liam Neeson's like, I got to go find other survivalists, but I first got to get, like, clothes on. Like, I'm freezing cold, just like everyone else. It's like a huge blizzard. Almost all the time I'm describing this to you guys, I want you to imagine, like, piercing snow pellets hitting his face all the time. Like, it's constantly windy. And so he's just picking up people who are in crazy shock. He's like, Hernandez, are you alive? He's like, just call me. Like, he's just, like, muttering to himself. He's like, Hernandez, you're in shock. So Liam Neeson plays survivalist for the next couple of hours, just grabbing a bunch of people, getting warm, putting them back into the plane to avoid the crazy windiness. So half the plane, it's not really intact, but there's kind of a wind shelter, so they can kind of pull up in there for now. So then one of the guys who Liam Neeson saved, Diaz, he's like, hey, this guy needs your help, man. This guy needs your help. And Liam Neeson's like, okay. So he goes over to this guy in the plane, and he's just, like, oozing blood out of his stomach. It's nasty. And the guy is, like, freaking out. He's like, God, I don't know, dude. I feel weird, man. Oh, he's freaking out. He's shaking. And then Ottawa, Liam Neeson, looks at him. He's like, you're going to die. Okay, you're going to die. And he's, like, super calm, and he's, like, warm and smiling. He's like, just let it take you. Just let the warm bathe you. Just think of your loved one. He's obviously a pro actor, so he's doing a much better job of, like, soothing this guy from, like, pure panic to at least calming down. But they did, like, it's a 5-minute long scene of this guy bleeding out in front of all of these other people on this plane, slowly bleeding out to death. And, like, they talk about, like, did you feel him go? Like, they're all crying and they're all in shock. And one guy's even laughing, because obviously that's a normal response, honestly, in a situation like this. So Liam Neeson's like, all right, he's kind of hopping into his sniper gear, and he's like, all right, here we go, guys. We need to get firewood. We need to get anything that we can burn, dig up anything. We need to get going immediately. You two do this, you two do this. And one guy's like, I'm not listening to you. This is stupid. I don't give a shit. This is a pocket plane crash, blah, blah, blah. And so they're all still freaking out. And then Liam's like, listen, you're all going to die in a couple of moments unless you start moving and get some wood. It's pretty simple. And so they're like, all right, fine. We'll go find some wood. And as they're finding wood in this montage, they're picking up stuff. They're like, that would kill you if you burned it, blah, 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 blah. They're also finding just a ridiculous amount of dead bodies just all over the place. And then Liam Neeson, in his attempt to go find some wood, he sees someone with the fire. And he's like, hello? And then he hears, like, a woman, kind of whimpering, if you will. And we learn that it's the stewardess and by the fire. And then he's like, oh, I'm coming. And the moment he takes a step, a wolf appears his head out from the stewardess's stomach. and we realize that it's a wolf. So so he's racing over to the wolf to try to get the wolf off of the stewardess, and the wolf just starts attacking the shit out of Liam Neeson. Like, gruesome. Super fight. Bites the gejesus out of his leg. Pretty intense. But not, like, atrocious. But then the guys that he saved came over and beat the shit out of the wolf, and then the wolf fled. We realize the stewardess is definitely dead. We don't even, like, get to see her because it was just obvious. And everyone was like, what the hell was that? That was massive. What the heck was that? So then they're bandaging up his leg, and, like, they're kind of joking about becoming a werewolf. But then Liam Neeson's like, this is pretty insane. He knows a shit ton about wolves because that's his job pretty much, right? And he's like, we could be in the den. We could not be in the den. They could just be passing by. I don't know. It's difficult. But hopefully they just don't come back, I guess. But he doesn't seem comfortable. So he's like, all right, let's go ahead and take some shifts. Because it's nighttime now. Obviously, the wolves really only come most of the time in the night. They make a fire. They're all warmed up. They're kind of talking a little bit about stuff. And then they hear something. And so Liam Neeson grabs, they made like torches, and he grabs a torch and he runs outside and he like throws the torch. He doesn't throw it, but he like turns it to the darkness, and everyone's right behind him. And you see the wolf's eyes, just the eyes of the wolf. And then you hear some more footsteps, and then you see like, I want to say like 10 wolf pairs of eyes walk in behind his wolf pairs of eyes. And so Liam's like, guys, don't move. Stay as a group. Just hold your ground. And then they step a little closer, but they hold the ground, and he's still showing the light to them and all that. And they end up leaving. So they stand their ground, but clearly there's a lot of wolves, and this is becoming a very apparent and real problem. So Liam's like, all right, we've got the fire. Let's take shifts every 2 hours. I want someone switching as we sleep tonight. We definitely need to get some sleep. So he takes a shift. He's kind of tired. He daydreams about his wife, as always. Another guy takes a shift, and he's kind of dozing, but he's like, Liam's like, hey, stay awake. And he's like, all right, I got you guys. No biggie. So he stays awake. Then the next guy takes his shift, and he goes out during his shift and goes to pee. So he puts the torch down in the snow, and he starts peeing. And the moment he starts peeing, you just hear like you just see like his legs collapse, and just a wolf gets him, just like snags him. And he can't even scream because he like gouges the shit out of his throat and face. And it's just like a bloodbath. So these guys don't even recognize what had really happened. Clearly they were all sleeping. It was night, and the guy on watch got picked off. So Liam wakes up in the morning, and he sees this massive trail of blood. Like a massive trail of blood from this guy. And he's like, get up, everyone get up. So they all like, no, they killed him. Hernandez. No, Hernandez. So then Liam's like, all right, we got to go. We got to do something. This is, we could go fight them, because now there's like bloody tracks to their den. Like, we could go follow them, or we could head for those trees way over there, like way over there. And so this is where he's like, okay. And then as they're kind of figuring out what they need to do, they're looking around, still trying to find some bodies. Liam Neeson's like, all right, we should also grab the wallets of everyone who died for the families, like as a nice thing, you know, just for a second, think of other people. And everyone except for one guy, Diaz, we call him, is like, all right, they listen to Liam. They trust everything he says, except for this one guy, Diaz. He's like, I'm just going to sit here drinking. You guys waste some time. He's just one of those assholes you'd expect in a movie where he's just like, I don't want to do what you say because you're telling me to do it. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys. So reluctantly, Liam's like, I don't care what the fuck you do, Diaz, but I'm going over the trees. I'm grabbing everything we can. And everyone who wants to follow me, grab as much as you can and we'll go. So everyone follows Liam towards the trees, trying to avoid the wolves, essentially. And remember that, like, I was telling you about the weather conditions in this situation, okay? They're still, like, in a full-out blizzard pretty much the whole time, almost the whole time. It's pretty amazing how they filmed this, to be honest, because it really does look real. And their, like, beards are all frozen over, and, like, they're, it's, like, super, like, you can't imagine a colder situation. Imagine the coldest situation you could think of. And then that's what's going on times, like, infinity. So we get, like, panos of them trenching through this blizzard, knee-deep in snow trying to get to these trees that are pretty far out in the distance. And then we kind of noticed that Flannery, our original guy who was talking and kind of funny and whatever the hell, he has a really injured leg. That's the guy that Liam Neeson saved first, and he has an injured leg. So as they're trotting through the snow, he's kind of falling back a little bit, and Flannery's like, sure, leave me behind, whatever, you know. He's kind of like joking or whatever. And you notice every time we pan out, he's just getting a little bit further and further behind. But we're talking a matter of, like, I want to say no more than 40 yards at max. And all of a sudden, we get close up on Flannery's face, and you guessed it, in the blizzard of all blizzards, you get like two or three wolves sprinting up behind him. I believe it's two wolves sprinting up behind him, and like he's screaming, he's like, help, Ottawa! And like, Ottawa and his group are sprinting over to him, but it's like so hard to trudge through this deep snow. And of course, by the time they get to him and scare off the wolves, he is bled out pretty much and dead, like pretty atrociously dead, just brutal. And now, of course, Diaz, the kind of the dick guy, is like, look what you did, Ottawa. You killed Flannery, you son of a gun. And so he grabs the wallet from Flannery's jacket. And so that's kind of like the symbol of death in this movie, is they're collecting like a bag of wallets for the families. So it's a symbol where Liam's just like, here's his wallet. And it's just like a really tough symbol that one of the survivors, the first survivor, dies. And like pretty freaking, like second survivor dies pretty instantly, I might add. So as they're approaching the tree line and it's getting pretty damn dark at this point and super hard to see, Diaz is like, wait, hold on. So everyone pauses and he's like, do you hear that? And then he's like, wait, what is that over there? And he looks really deep in the distance, and really all you can see is trees up until like you gotta stare for a while. And then like 2 seconds later, you see packs of wolves running on their left and on their right. They're like sprinting on both sides of them and you can barely make them out. So eagle eye to Diaz, shout out to that guy actually, because that's intense. So Ottawa's like, Liam's character, Ottawa, is like, sprint to the trees, because they just about made it to the tree line. So they're sprinting into the trees. They all fall down into this like pit. And Liam's like, make a fire right now. Hurry up. So they're like, in their scavenging of the plane, they grabbed like fuel. They grabbed the essentials that they needed to grab, which is good. And we don't even have to focus on that stuff. Like, they have materials, which is good. And they have Liam Neeson, so that's also good. So they make a fire. Things don't work out at first, but then it works out. And right as they make it successfully, you just like hear. I mean, they did such a good job with the sound too. Like, the surrounding of them is just constant wolf snarling and howling. It's just like constant. And then it stops. So they're like, okay, it worked. And then all of a sudden they hear like biting and snarling of wolves, but they kind of can see them fighting up there, but they notice that it is fighting. So Liam Neeson explains to them that it's a wolf trying to fight the alpha dog for alpha, obviously. And Liam is able to decipher that the alpha dog wins in their fight, as they can hear it happening. So now they're pretty much just sitting in the forest, just a fire. And I shouldn't mention how many people are with him. I think they started with 7 people, and then it was down to 6 after the peeing guy. Now I believe it's down to 5 after Flannery got killed in the walk over the trees. So that, I believe that's 5 people left, if I did my math correct. So they're around the fire, and Liam Neeson grabs some sticks, some good sticks, and hands it to everybody. They make a perimeter of fire too, by the way. Not a great one, but a pretty okay one. And so Diaz, the dick, is like, what is this for? And Liam Neeson was like, here's some shotgun shells. Also, I should mention, he found his guns that he had packed away in the plane, but they were broken, like in half, which makes sense. But he grabbed the shotgun shells from some other ammo that he had and kept those. So he's like, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to make these like spear-like things, but we're going to tape on the shotgun shells, the top of them. So they're like boomsticks. So if you stab something, it should trigger the shotgun shell. So if there's a wolf, you hit it with this, and it's like a shotgun shell right into the wolf. It's a big enough blast to separate you and it, pretty much. And Diaz is like, I don't give a shit what you say. I'm not doing this. He throws his stick away, and he's, like, super pissed at Liam Neeson. And he starts, like, talking real shit about how he's not afraid, and you guys are just following him because you're afraid. And then Liam Neeson's like, you're not afraid? He's like, no, I'm not afraid. And he's like, I'm terrified. I'm freaking out. And then Diaz is like, well, you're like a pussy then, you punk. And then Liam Neeson's like, well, you're stupid because I know you're afraid, so just stop lying. So then Diaz pulls a knife on Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson, being the badass that he is, like, uses his surroundings and just takes him down within, like, a half a second, right in front of everybody, right in front of the fire. And then all of a sudden, Liam Neeson stops while he's on, like, pinning Diaz on the floor. And we get a slow pan from their faces, and we pan to the alpha wolf just standing right on the precipice of Diaz's face. And note, they're still around the fire, and that's why that's why the wolf hasn't pounced right away. Is because I think he's just kind of feeling it all out. Like I said, it's like a Jaws situation where the animal has a very strong persona and kind of personality, if you will. So the wolf backs away, slowly backs away, and he also kind of tests Diaz by stepping closer to Diaz in his way of stepping, and Diaz stepped back. So the wolf was like testing who's the weakest, pretty incredible stuff. And the wolf walks away. It's a really long scene too. Like it's like a mean mug next to a mean mug. It was pretty cool. So then we kind of go fast forward a little bit to like they're surrounding the fire. And then Diaz is like, well, what the hell was that about? Why did he do that? And then Liam Neeson's like, he was looking at you, man, kind of stuff. And then just a second later, right when he sits down, a wolf jumps on Diaz's back and like lands him right onto the fire pretty much and just starts gnawing at his back. Crazy. But they were equipped with spears with shotgun shells. So woohoo, victory. They kill one wolf. And in this attempt, one of our buddies, we'll call him the one with the glasses, he gets kind of hit in his hand pretty bad. His hand, like, he lost pretty much like a fucking finger in the whole thing. But they killed a wolf, and Diaz is okay. He's okay. I mean, he's bleeding a little bit on his back, but he's okay. And Diaz is, like, psychotic. So he's just knifing the wolf that's already dead over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm not exaggerating again. Over and over and over and over again. Just kicking it, and just yelling at it like it's some enemy. So then the wolves are kind of howling, and Liam's like, they sent in some outcast wolf to test you, Diaz, and how you do kind of thing. And then, well, Diaz is like, well, he didn't get me. So then they're like, so what do we do now? And then Liam is like, we're going to shove a stick up this thing's ass. We're going to cook it. And we're going to eat it. Wolf meat's not the best taste, but we're going to eat it. And so they do just that. They cook it nice. And the wolves are howling. Like, they're howling all around them, like, constantly. And so Diaz, the crazy guy, cuts the head off of the wolf that's on the fire. Like, and it's a long scene. I'm talking, I want to say it's a full 60 seconds of him cutting the wolf's head off. It's pretty insane. And then he's super psychotic, and Liam Neeson's like, just let him have it, pretty much, because he's kind of crazy. And he throws the wolf head back into the wolf pack, being like, check this shit out. Have him back. Have your brother back. And just, you know, it's just his head. Whatever. And so the wolves are, like, howling like no one's business now. Like, they're like, I want revenge, kind of. It's almost become like a war. And then Liam's like, we need to keep moving. We need to keep moving. Like, it's a fact. And I should also note, during this, there's this one really tall black guy who is coughing occasionally. And that's all we know. We haven't even addressed it. No one's addressed it, but he's coughing occasionally. And so as they're moving to their next campground, and it's still dark, by the way. It's totally pitch black. And as we're moving to the next campground, he's like, I feel kind of woozy. His name is Burke, the guy who's kind of coughing here and there. And so they're like, all right, we're going to pull up because he's like woozy and coughing pretty significantly. So they pull up at this new campsite that they make for themselves. It's still pitch black. Diaz apologizes, by the way. Diaz is like, I'll never let that happen again. I'm sorry, guys. That was out of line, and I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going to fight. And they kind of joke around while Burke, the big guy who's coughing, falls asleep. And he's kind of talking in his sleep. He even wakes up at one point and like, Emma, is that you? it's okay, go back. And so, like, he's kind of just, like, hallucinating. And everyone addresses that. And Liam's, like, it's high altitude. He's dehydrated. He's hallucinating. And then someone's like, who's Emma? And they're like, Emma's his dead sister from when he was young. So, I mean, it's just a little side note. Anyways, now they get kind of, while he's sleeping, they're all joking about their last, like, their last sex or whatever, their dads or their uncles or whatever. And then Liam Neeson talks about his dad and how he was kind of a dick. But he had this poem about, like, it's like four lines. Into the last good fight, you'll never know, live and die on this day. Or something like that. I don't recall it perfectly. But essentially it was saying, like, live and die in this day. Like, face your death kind of situation. And as they're doing that, the wolves are kind of howling again. And they kind of need to keep moving a little bit. And they also notice that there's this huge winter storm coming. You can hear the thunder coming in. So there's going to be a really big blizzard that's going to hit them on top of the big blizzard that they've already faced. So then it's morning. It's next day. And we get, it's so windy. They do such a good job here. It's so windy we can barely hear our characters. Like, I mean, like, barely. I had to turn on the captions. And I actually love that they did that. And we see everyone hiding behind, like, trees, trying to, like, block the wind, trying to do their best. And then we get Liam Neeson screaming on top of Burke, the guy who was coughing. He's, like, looks like one of the frozen victims from Titanic, man. He looks like just a brick of nothing. And Liam Neeson is, like, punching him in the face, trying to get him to wake up. He's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And he's just screaming. And again, we can barely hear his screams because of the wind. And it looks like he probably is in a coma, but you can't really do anything about that because what are you going to do? You got to keep moving. It's tough. So they take his wallet, as you would expect, sadly. So then we get, this is the first scene, next scene here, where it's midday. They go to a new campsite. They got their fire going. And it's the first time where it's not, like, blizzarding out. So it's, like, kind of a relief. They do a good job with the snow to, like, you know in horror movies how sometimes you get time to, like, just relax when the day comes around? It's, like, one of those situations where it really is, like, calming to know that there's just not a bunch of snow happening and all that crazy shit. And everyone's, like, pretty much, like, God, I almost want to admit defeat right now. We're just losing so bad. And then as they're talking about that, Liam Neeson notices something on one of the logs that they're sitting on. There's like a little tag. And so he whips off the snow and he sees that it's been sawed. So they're in an area that had been logged. So that means people at some point. So that gives them a little bit of hope. And they realize that there's more wolves howling that are just kind of chasing them as per usual. It's pretty much constant in this movie. So then they also hear, as they kind of follow a little bit, the sound of water. They go to the sound of the river, and it's a big sound. It's a big, very big, loud sound. But they notice the only way to follow the sound is to go down this big cliff. Like, I mean, full-on skydiving cliff. So they notice that Liam Neeson notices that there's trees pretty close to across the cliff, to the point where you could probably jump onto the trees. Yeah, you could jump onto the trees and tether a line from the top of a tree to, like, a log from where they are on the cliffside. So that way you could kind of army crawl on the rope across this big cliff. So he's like, we're going to tether you. Whoever's going to run and jump, because it's not going to be Liam Neeson, main character powers, of course. We're going to tether a rope to your back. We're going to have you jump. And we're going to, like, pull on the rope right as you land onto the opposing tree. And so that way it'll kind of lessen your fall. And then you're going to tie the rope to the next tree so that way we can tether on. So Henrik, this guy Henrik is his name, he's like, fuck it, I'll do it. So he does it. I'm not even going to sugarcoat this thing. This man straight up just sprints off the cliff with a rope tethered to him and jumps his ass off, lands on the tree, and he tethers it to the top of the tree. And they now have a official, like, what looks like a tightrope from their side of the cliff to the tree across the cliff. And we also noticed that Diaz is coughing up blood. just kind of out of the blue, and kind of coughs a little bit similar to that of Burke, believe it or not. So Diaz goes across the rope. They climb across successfully, and Liam climbs across successfully. But the last guy, the guy with the glasses I mentioned, the guy with the glasses, he's like, fuck, I have a deathly fear of heights. This is freaking me out. You can just tell. And he also note that he has like no finger, and he's bleeding pretty viciously from his hand. So Liam Neeson goes across because this guy convinces Liam Neeson to go across first. And sure enough, our guy, his name is Talgett, the guy with glasses in the broken, in the like lost finger. He goes for it. He starts climbing across the damn thing. He's doing a pretty good job. And then he loses his glasses on the rope. He loses his glasses down the cliff while he's on the rope. And he kind of panics a little bit. And as he panics, he shuffles a little too hard. And the rope snaps. The rope snaps. But he's lucky enough to hold on to the rope that he's holding on to. And it swings him across the cliff into the tree. In a vicious swing into the tree at that. And lands on the top of the tree. And then just kind of stumbles all the way down the tree. Hitting breaking branches. Falling. He lands on the ground in the snow. And we got a close-up of his face. And the first thing we see when he lands is like, you always want to know, like, can you survive that? Did he survive that? He's alive, but can he survive it? And we get a close-up of his face, and he just coughs up this just a massive amount of blood. And as he does this, you get just a bunch of wolves that go and just grab the shit out of him and start eating him right then and there. And so Liam, Diaz, and Hendricks are the only three people left. And they're at the top of the tree because they didn't fall down like the glasses guy. And they're like, wolves, get off of him, get off of him. So they jaunt down. They try to get down the tree as fast as possible. And in doing so, Diaz breaks a branch and like breaks his knee pretty much and scares off the wolves off of the glasses guy. But pretty much breaks his ankle and knee. And Diaz and Hendricks and Liam, the other two, they make it down the tree safely. We see another image of Liam taking the wallet out of Talgett's pocket. So Talgett died, and he was dragged off by a bunch of wolves. So they were not successful, and now Diaz has got like this really fucked up leg, and they got to keep moving because they just saw wolves. So obviously they got to keep moving, and that's kind of the theme of this, is if you keep moving in the day and kind of fire it up at night, you might be able to scare away some wolves, but they're picking them off one by one. It's obvious. So now we have like this really long montage. I mean, super long, of them trying to get to the river. Because the river symbolizes like, A, you have fresh water. B, there was some kind of civilization somewhere when someone logged something. So they figured they could get to the water. Maybe there'd be a cabin somewhere. Maybe they can find people, obviously, right? They're going south and that's what they know they need to do. Because that's where the camp is. And as they make it to the water, huzzah, they're not really cheerful at all. They make it there. It's beautiful, but I mean, it's a rocky beach. It's not like a sandy beach or anything, obviously. And Diaz like snaps his leg on the rock pretty much, like on the rocks on the beach. Cause you can't, I mean, he's probably got like a torn every CL, like MCL, LCL. I mean, all of the CLs, he's probably got it all torn. And we're just expecting him to give up. And we just have like this. Imagine a camera on a tripod from someone like 100 yards away, and just imagine this one long shot of this broken-legged man trying to hobble on a rocked beach, and he finally makes it to the tripoded camera, and right at the tripoded camera, he's like, I'm done. He just like says, I'm done. You know, like he's just done. And God, I feel like I can't even blame him. He's coughing up blood, his leg's all fucked up. So he sits down and he tells the guys to hold up, and they're like, don't sit down, don't sit down. And he sits down. And then this is a very long conversation that they end up having between the three of them, the three survivors, Hendrick, Diaz, and Ottawa. But essentially, long, long story short, Diaz is like, listen, man, I got nothing else to go back to. I mean, look at this view. And it is a beautiful view. He's got the creek, the mountains, the trees. It's quite a lovely day. And Hendrick, the other guy, is like, well, look at what we survived through, man. We survived through so much. He's like, exactly. I did it. I made it. I'm here. Look at this. This is for me. Like, and he like points to the beautiful view. And so apparently this whole time while they were working, they weren't allowed to give their first names for some reason or something. So he puts out his hand, Diaz does, and he's like, my name's John. My first name is John. And Hendrix is like, all right, mine's Eli or something. And then they shake hands. And it's like pretty much them saying like, okay, we're going to let you kill yourself pretty much. And then Ottawa's like, my name is John. So then they both laugh that their names are John. They shake their hands. And then Diaz gives the wallet to Hendrix, who's holding all of the wallets. And so they leave Diaz sitting on this beautiful rock. It's a beautiful view. Great cinematography here. Just sitting and waiting for the wolves to come get him. And you hear the wolf. Like, it's amazing. It's not like the wolf is howling or running or anything. You don't even see it. But you hear, like, the pitter-patter of their paws in the snow right up to, like, Diaz's body pretty much before we didn't see him die. And we don't hear him die, but we definitely know he is dead because he handed up the wallet. So now we've got the montage of our last two survivors, Hendrix and Ottawa, Liam and Hendrix, and they're just trotting down the river. I mean, it's blizzarding, it's freezing, as always. Like I mentioned, you got to keep the envisionment that it is always, like, blowing wind and snow. And so Hendrix is like, hey, can I ask you something? And then Liam just, you know, quietly keeps walking, doesn't really talk. And then Hendrix's like, what were you doing that last night at camp? And then we were like, what are you talking about? And Liam doesn't say anything, but then we have a montage of, like, a cutscene to the last night at camp that I first mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, where he was, like, defeated at camp. He walked in, took a shot, looked defeated. And Hendrix's like, I've only seen that look in one other man, and it was straight from Diaz, pretty much hinting at the fact that Hendrix knew that he was going to go kill himself. Hendrix knew that Liam's character was going to kill himself. And Liam's like, well, it doesn't really matter now, does it? And Hendrix says, I mean, not really, I guess. And as they're finishing that sentence, you just have two wolves sprinting at them. Now, it's in snow, so it's not like they're trying to run. They're running. It's not like they're just giving up. They're running. The wolves are kind of catching them. So Hendrix decides to jump in the river. Hendrix jumps in the river to flee the wolf that was about to eat him, pretty much. And so now Liam, a little faster than Hendrix, is able to kind of run alongside the river and continue following Hendrix while kind of outmaneuvering the wolves. Then Liam decides to jump in the river too to go save Hendrix. And Hendrix gets caught underneath a rock. Like, his foot is caught underneath a rock where, like, I don't know how that happens necessarily, but it definitely happens where, like, he is pretty much stuck underneath the water. But his face is, like, I want to say, like, 2 inches away from air. I mean, saying 2 inches, the point where you can see everything. And Ottawa gets to him in the river. He gets to him. His hands are on him. He's pulling on him. He can't get him. And, like, Hendrix is, like, pretty much about to die. So Liam starts breathing in air from his lungs. Like, he's giving him CPR underwater, pretty much. And Hendrix is taking it, but he's panicking. He's screaming. And so Liam keeps giving him air, but it's not fast enough. And he's trying to pull him. He's trying to pull him so hard. But it's over. He's now drowned. Hendrix is dead under the water, officially. And now that leaves us with but one, Liam Neeson, Ottawa. He climbs out of the river, freezing cold, obviously, right? And there's this great line. So in all these campfires, there's obviously a lot of script happening, a lot of talking. And they were talking about, does anyone believe in God, you know? And Liam mentioned earlier that he wished he could believe in God. He wishes that was real. He wants to, but he can't. And the reason I bring that up is because as Liam gets out of the water and he just looks super defeated, he just sits down, like, takes his coat off and just sits in the snow right out of the water. And he looks up at the sky and he's like, show me something. Like, he's screaming at the sky. He's like, show me something. Show me something real. Please prove to me that you're real. Fuck faith, he says. Prove to me that you're real. And he's screaming, screaming. And then the best line of almost any movie I've ever seen. He looks like he's going to kill himself. He's just, like, frozen looking at the sky, waiting for something to happen from God. And then the camera zooms in on him. And he says, fuck it. I'll do it myself. So he keeps going. It was, like, the coolest line ever. So he doesn't admit defeat yet. He says, I'm going to keep going. I don't need anything. I don't need faith. I got me. So he's trudging through the woods, and he's getting pretty tired, very cold. And then he kind of stumbles upon just a nice little spot to take a knee, if you will. The sun is out, but he's still cold. He takes the wallets out of his backpack, all of them, and he starts setting them on the ground in a really nice pattern, if you will, kind of looking at all of them, looking at the families and the kids that all of these people had. And he looks at his own wallet, and he looks at the letter that he wrote his wife. And we get like kind of a cutscene, right, of him holding his wife, and she says, don't be afraid. She says, don't be afraid. And then as that happens, we get like this really cool focus scene of a dead deer carcass and like another dead deer carcass and like a wolf carcass. And then we get the rustling sound and we get a little bit of a growl. And we notice that, yes, of course, there's a wolf to your left. There's a wolf to your right. There's a wolf above. And the wolf above him is the alpha. It's like got a very distinct dark hair and very loud. And he goes, it's a den. Of course, it's a fucking den. So he is now in the wolf's den. He is trotted all the way directly into the wolf's den. So he puts the letter he wrote to his wife in his wallet. He looks at the picture of his wife in his wallet. And then we get another cutscene to his wife. And that says again, don't be afraid. But this time it's just more than a bed. And this time it zooms out and we notice that they were in the hospital during all of those cutscenes. So clearly the implication is that Ottawa's wife is dead. And so the reason we get a happy ending here, the only way that he could get out of this, actually, he does tape a bunch of glass bottles to his hand like Galvanux, you know, and he grabs his knife, ready to fight the alpha dog, ready to fight. But we can only assume that he dies. And the last scene we get is the wolf pouncing right on him while he's trying to stab it. And like the poem of his father is recited over, live and die on this day. Live and die on this day. And then it's over. And that is the movie. And, you know, here's the thing. Some of these situations don't seem realistic. I am not one to say that it's real or not. I haven't the slightest of clues other than the fact that I know if you fall into freezing water with a big poofy coat on, I don't know how long you could live outside of that in a pretty freezing area. And there's so many situations with wolves that I don't know. But I enjoyed the ride. Let's just say it like that. I was on a coaster. I was on a roller coaster. And I am a sucker for not the typical ending. I'm sure all of you guys listening were thinking, of course, Liam Neeson's going to be the only one who survives and hands the wallets to all the families, right? But no. Nope, he definitely, I mean, we're assuming he dies. We never see him die, but I'm a sucker for main character deaths like that. I'm a sucker for main character non-powers. I think that's awesome. And honestly, guys, I hope you enjoyed The Gray, okay, with Liam Neeson. Maybe I'll cover another Liam Neeson or Taken or something crazy like that. I love talking about stuff like this. But anyways, guys, tune into the next one. I'm going to see if I can get Netflix back so I can keep doing Squid Games for you. But don't forget to keep those donations going. Please share the podcast with others, guys. I'm only getting a couple people viewing this, but I appreciate those couple people, all right? You know who you are, all right? Pat yourself on the back for making me happy. Okay. All right, folks. This is Leonard R.R. Cox signing off with Leonard's Flick Fix.
He summarizes movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime. Flick Fix.